Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Fun on Weekdays podcast. I'm your host, Jenna Palick. And today I thought we would do a little deep dive on my job history because, drum roll, I just got a new job. Woo! Okay, so for the past couple of years, I've been a full-time influencer and I've been doing my own thing. I've been unemployed for a while. Well, no, I've been not unemployed, but self-employed for about 2.5 years. And this is now my third week working for my boyfriend's company, Waterboy. And it has been a really fun change of pace. Before I tell you guys about why that happened, why I'm working for Waterboy, and my goals for the future, I wanted to give you some background as to what I did leading up to that. And let's start all the way back in high school. So somebody asked on my Instagram story the other day, she was a younger girl and she asked, how did you save money when you were in college? And I think it all starts back to high school. So I don't know why, but I was like so eager to get a job immediately. As soon as I turned 15, I wanted a job. So the first place I worked was at Mally's Chocolate in Cleveland. I actually worked at the Mentor location. And way back when they did a bachelor hometown date. And I don't even remember what season it was. I was like maybe, I don't know, 6 or 8 years old. And they actually went to that Mentor Mally's. So if you are from the area, then you probably know what I'm talking about. But it's a little chocolate ice cream shop. And I worked there for a couple months. My sister Erin was also working there at the same time. So I wasn't even driving yet. I was 15 and a half. I think that's when you can legally start working. I was making minimum wage there. I would work the cashier. I would restock the candy counter. I would wrap packages that people would get for Easter and, I don't know, chocolate boxes. And then I started becoming a server on the ice cream side. So we would make the sundaes, we would serve tables. And actually I made like a decent amount of money from tips. So I really liked that job because with the service industry, obviously like your income is kind of reliant on your tips. So if you're friendly and you're cute and you have a good bubbly personality, like you can make a decent amount. So I saved a lot of that money. I only worked there for I think a year because then I was going back to school in the fall, and with cheerleading, I had a lot of games on Friday nights, Saturday mornings, and it just wasn't aligning with what they needed. So I quit before they could fire me, but I knew that they were going to fire me because I didn't have like any availability with after school cheerleading. I was also in drama club in high school. So I just like was so busy and I didn't really have the time for it. So I didn't work for a little bit after that, but then shortly after I got a job at American Commodore. And this was kind of the job that changed everything for me. Which is so sad because recently they actually shut their doors. Like they didn't give any of their employees any warning. They literally just went bankrupt and just shut everything down. People showed up to work at the mall at their location and there was a sign that said that they're out of business. So that is just absolutely horrible. Take note of what not to ever do. But that was probably my favorite job that I've ever had. I say that loosely. I don't know. I've left a lot of the jobs I've had, but that job made such an impact in the rest of my life. So when I first started there, I was a dress runner. I would help the consultants rebag the prom dresses, put them back onto the racks, and then I would pull dresses for them when they were shopping and I would accessorize them. And basically I was just their little bitch running around the store and cleaning. And after like maybe 2 weeks of working there, they were like, actually, you're really good at selling dresses and pulling the right dresses for girls and being personable. Okay, girls, stop what you're doing right this second. Open up your calendar. I want you to pull up May 12th and add a note to yourself that it's Mother's Day. Okay, now I want you to go to May 5th and add a note in there and say, order Mother's Day gift. So you have enough time for it to come before Mother's Day. Do not forget, if you need a gift idea for your mom this Mother's Day, I think the perfect gift is the gift of a good night's sleep. My mom and dad just got a new mattress. They just redid their bedroom. The one missing thing that she needs is a good set of pajamas that help you get a better night's sleep. They help you stay cool when you're sleeping. Softest pajamas I have literally ever worn. Every time I post about these pajamas, you guys eat it up. Cozy Earth has super cute options for Mother's Day. Incredibly soft. Some would say as soft as a mother's touch. And they want to help you celebrate Mother's Day by giving you an exclusive discount for Fun on Weekdays listeners. It is Fun on Weekdays at checkout for 35% off of your order. Again, mark it in your calendars. Don't forget. And don't forget to use Fun on Weekdays at checkout. So would you want to be a dress consultant? At the time, that was like, oh my gosh, I thought it was so cool. And then when I became a dress consultant, I started making commission on dresses. So that was really, really fun. I loved the idea that I could make extra money by how ambitious I was. And especially with however many more weekend shifts you pick up, that's mainly when people are shopping for prom dresses. So I was just working every single weekend. I was picking up shifts whenever I could. At this time, I was still in high school. And again, I was a cheerleader and I was in drama club. So for the spring musicals, it got a little difficult, but I always loved being busy. And that job is what really inspired me to want to work for Sherry Hill. The first dress I ever sold, which I've told the story like a million times, but it was this like three-piece Sherry Hill dress, and the girl came in with her mom and it was so out of their price range, but she put it on just for fun. And when she came out, her mom started crying. She started crying, and then they ended up buying the dress and put it on layaway, and it was a Sherry Hill dress. And from that moment, I was like, I want to work for Sherry Hill. That is like my one dream. I'm going to go to college for that. And I'm going to work towards working for this designer, because it was just such a pivotal moment in my life. I don't know. It was really, really special to be a part of. So that was my experience working at American Commodore. I worked there for a couple years, junior and senior year in high school. And then I worked there throughout college as well. Whenever I would go home for break, I would go and pick up some shifts at the mall. And I loved working at the mall. I would find myself going over to that little ice cream, or no, not ice cream. It was that coffee place, Java something. It was hardly coffee at all. I would get this Cookie Monster Blizzard thing, and then I would get a pizza from California Pizza Kitchen across the way. But now the Mentor Mall, I think, has nothing in it. Like, the Mentor Mall is honestly scary. I cannot tell you the last time I've been there. I actually got my nails done there like 2 years ago, maybe. There's also like no nail salons in my hometown. We have maybe two, and they're always so busy. So I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to go to the Mentor Mall. Got my nails done there, and I don't remember if I liked them or not. But anyways, there's hardly anything in that mall. While I was working there, though, I did have some really cool opportunities. Like, I did travel a little bit for it. I was able to work I think maybe two bridal shows. We had a couple fashion shows that we did. And on the other half of our store, American Commodore actually started as a tuxedo rental business. So on the other side of the Mentor location were the tuxedos and suits. So when it wasn't prom season, I would sometimes go over to that side, which I really did not love. I mean, I know how to fit a suit or a tux, so I guess that's kind of a good life skill to have, really random. But I would work on that side, and I don't know, it just didn't really pique my interest as much. I was in a commercial when I worked there. So random. My mom posted on Facebook. I think I've shared it before, but yeah, I did some really fun and kind of random stuff when I worked there, but it was a great entry-level job. I made decent money from commission. I think I made 5% commission on every dress I sold. So if I sold a $200 dress, oh, I guess I only made 10 bucks. At the time, I thought I was like loaded though. There were a couple commission checks where I made like maybe $200, $300 or something like that. And I just thought it was the coolest thing in the world. And at the time, I didn't have any expenses. I was in high school and it was like years ago. So inflation was not what it is now. And honestly, the money was great. And I kept majority of it. So then I went to college and I studied fashion merchandising at Kent State. And my freshman semester, I picked up a part-time job at the Schwebel Room, which is this random little restaurant in the student center, which basically only professors go to. So I would work there maybe two times a week, and it was really just a two-hour shift in between my class schedule. I didn't make that much money there, but it was something. And so the money that I did make, I would use towards buying my bottle of New Amsterdam or buying stuff for the weekend when I was going out to my frat parties. But I was very, very fortunate that my parents did help me pay for college. And in those first 2 years, they helped pay for my housing. So I was really fortunate that the money that I did make, I was able to save. And then I could put it towards things that I wanted, like if I wanted to go shopping. But again, that was not that frequent because I love saving money. And when I do buy stuff, it's always on sale. So that was a job that I had when I was in college for the first semester. I think the second semester, my class schedule didn't align. But that was when I started working for University Tees, which was my second semester of freshman year. So University Tees was also one of my favorite jobs that also really set me up for success after college. Basically, and if you're listening to this and you're in college, you've probably heard of them or maybe used them before, but not even known. They help create custom apparel for student organizations, intramural sports, student government, sororities, fraternities, like basically anything. So you'll have these campus managers that will be connected on campus and you have like different friend groups or whatever. And you basically pitch custom merch to all of these student organizations. And then you kind of create your own business with it, which I really loved. You had the flexibility to just kind of do whatever you wanted, but it was 100% commission. So you only made as much money as the time and energy that you put into it. You were encouraged to have these like one-on-one meetings with student organizations every couple weeks where you would pitch, you know, these t-shirts or custom pens. I mean, I met up with some really interesting people on campus. I would just go through our student, like our university page, and I would look through all of the different organizations. I met up with the Kent State Gun Club. I think I did one t-shirt order for them, which was so random. And I think they maybe only ordered like 15 shirts. So I made hardly any commission from that one. And I remember they were really difficult to work with. Like they were so particular about the design. And yeah, they were an interesting one. I don't know if I had a meeting with them or if I just remember emailing with them, but I know I talked to the robotics team. I mean, I would really talk to anyone and everyone. I would reach out to local businesses and I was just pitching myself for custom merch. And so I loved that job because it really taught me how to get out of my comfort zone. And I would do these one-on-one meetings with people that I've never met before. It just teaches you like really good presentation skills, social awareness, time management. And so I did that all throughout college. And that was honestly the one thing that helped me save as much money as I did throughout college. I think I made around $20,000 when I was working at University Tees. It does take a while. So if you happen to work there and you're like, what the heck, I can't get any sales, like it honestly takes a minute unless you're super well connected and you just kind of get thrown into it. I had to basically just start from scratch. I didn't get any organizations handed over to me easily. I had my own sorority, but my own sorority was using like South by the Sea or what was the other one? Allie and Ariel and all these other competitors. So to get them to use University Tees was really difficult. Well, flash forward, the summer after my freshman year, I worked at this place called Pickle Bill's in Fairport, Ohio. It's like maybe 10 minutes from my house, maybe even closer now that my parents moved. But it's this restaurant that is right on the river, our river is like just straight brown. It is, you can't swim in the water. I think that you would get toxic shock. Wait, no, not toxic. That's what you get from your tampon. You know what I mean? You'd get like electrocuted from the water current or something. I don't know. It's kind of gross, but it's the one restaurant that's on that river and it's a good time. We had a little floating dock, a floating carousel bar, and we sold all you can eat crabs, lobster, these like really fun margaritas. So I was a server for one summer when I worked there. And I think everyone should be forced to work a service job at one point in your life because, oh my gosh, the shit that you endure from customers just being so rude. I think everybody should have to be a server so that they know how to not treat other servers. Like going to a restaurant is a privilege. Being served by someone is a privilege. I don't care if the service sucks or you don't like the food. I will never not tip 20%, especially because I was a server, because I know how it feels. Like I remember this one couple specifically gave me the hardest time. They were so, so mean. I was on the verge of crying. Like I've had numerous tables where I cried because everything was wrong. They didn't like anything. And then they requested everything back. Then they would talk to the manager and want the entire meal comped. And then it would be my fault and I'd get yelled at. It's really stressful. And especially in that scenario where we get really, really busy in the summer. Yes, you can make really great tips, but there are tables like this one couple, that they came in for a date night and they got all you can eat crabs, and they would come in multiple times. I knew that they were returning customers, and they do it every time where they have you going back and forth, getting the refill crab, but then they wouldn't order it soon enough. So by the time that they got it, I don't even know how to describe this. Basically, when you put it into the computer and then it goes to the kitchen, you have to like go and get it right then and there, because if it sits and they don't want it yet, then it gets cold. Well, anyways, they were just really difficult to work with. And aside from that being kind of stressful, I loved it. And I made a decent amount of money and I saved all of my tips from that summer, which was really, really helpful. When I went back to school my sophomore year, I was then living in my sorority house and I paid for my sorority in college. My parents did not help me with that. That was just something that I wanted to do, and it was extra. So I used that money to help pay for my dues. And then I also worked for University Tees that year as well. I mean, I worked for them all throughout college, but I started getting more orders, some bigger orders like recruitment and stuff like that. So sophomore year, living in my sorority house, the year is about to be done, and I had applied for the Cherry Hill internship. The internship was in Austin, Texas. I was just finishing up last semester, May, and I find out that I got the internship, which was just so insane. I can't even tell you how I felt at the time when it happened, because it was like, oh my God, I didn't think that it would actually happen to me. And it was in that moment that I realized that absolutely anything was possible if I actually believed that I was worthy of things and if I worked hard to get there. So working for Cherry Hill was just incredible, but it was an unpaid internship, and it was in Austin, Texas. So I used that money that I had made to pay for my apartment. I was subleasing in West Campus. My parents didn't help pay for me to go there. I remember we flew into Austin. I packed like two suitcases and I stayed for about 10 or 12 weeks long. So I paid for everything when I was living in Austin, which is just way more expensive than my small town in Painesville, Ohio. So I did spend a bit of money doing that. But it was so worth it. And at the end of the summer, we actually did get paid for our time working at Atlanta Market. So that was nice. I think we ended up getting paid like maybe $1,000 or maybe $1,500. But when I was working there that summer, I had started to grow my, like, I guess, clientele, if you want to call it that, for University Tees. And I had gotten a bunch of fraternities to do their Rush t-shirts with me. So when I was living in Austin, I was also trying to sell t-shirts, trying to make extra money so that I could pay my way to live there. And luckily it worked out. I had a couple bigger orders and I think I made like $500 commission that summer, maybe a little bit more. So that was really, really helpful. I ended up using that money to like just do things here in Austin and go out. And I actually wasn't even 21 at that time. So we weren't going out that much, but you know, when we were going out, I was always trying to get free drinks too. I'm like, I can't spend everything I have. So then I go back to college my junior year. That semester, I became a Bumble rep and I was Bumble Honey. I got paid $100 a month, I believe, to do all of these tasks. I mean, it wasn't a lot of money by any means, but it was money. So I did that, added that to my resume. That was more of something that I did just to like have experience, I guess, just to put it on my resume. So that was fun. And then I started working at the bar. So I worked, what is it even called? 157 is what it's called. I never talk about it because they don't have a very good reputation. But I worked there my junior year, fall semester. Again, still working at University Tees. Then spring semester, I go and I do an internship in New York City. So my program at Kent required you to do a study away. You didn't have to do it for a full semester, but I just decided to do New York full semester. I thought of it as a good way to maybe make connections to get a job after college. I thought maybe I would be interested in moving to New York. I don't know. So I ended up getting an internship at Love Shack Fancy. And I got that internship because I just sent them a DM on Instagram. I literally was like, hey, I'm going to be studying in New York this semester. I'm looking for an internship. Here's my experience. I worked at Cherry Hill last summer. I worked at a dress store. I've worked in resale or in wholesale. And then I got an interview, I think like 2 days later or something. So I ended up working there and that was unpaid for the entire semester. And I was also taking full-time classes at our New York City campus. And then I was also paying for my housing there. So basically all of the money that I had made that fall semester of junior year, I had to pay for New York. And I remember my rent was around $1,500 a month. And I thought that that was absolutely absurd. It is absurd. I was sharing a bedroom with this other girl and we had about a foot in between our beds. So we shared a bedroom and then we shared this tiny little bathroom with the two girls in the other bedroom. And then we had a small little couch area and small kitchen. I didn't really do much that semester. And I just really did not love New York. I didn't love my internship at Love Check Fancy. I've talked about it before, but I don't know. I'm glad that I did it because I learned what I didn't want to do. And I'm glad that I have so many different job experiences because I really have kind of tried everything under the sun. And you have to do things to know that you don't want to do them. You know, like you have to have the shitty jobs because now looking back, they're just a good story. But then you know that you don't want to do that. And then you can redirect what you want your life to look like. But I just remember living in New York without being paid and spending every single ounce of money that I did have on like going out in the subway and going to dinner and stuff. Everything in New York, I mean, it literally costs money to breathe in New York. So it wasn't the best experience there. I felt a little homesick. I also lost a family friend when I was living there, which was pretty difficult to be away from family and like away from my hometown when that was happening. And it was just a tough time. I don't know. I realized I'm definitely not cut out for New York City, but that semester was my biggest semester for university tees. That was when I made the most money that I had ever made for them. So luckily, I think I had a little bit more extra motivation because I wasn't going out as much because I couldn't afford it. So spending a lot of time working on getting more orders for UTs and then using that money to help pay my way in New York. So that all worked out. But then that next summer, so this is going into my senior year now. So this is my junior year summer. I reach out to Sherry Hill and I'm like, hey, I would love to come back for a second summer and help you guys with your new set of interns. So I became a part-time employee for them that summer and I was helping them with wholesale. I was kind of like selling clothes. I don't know. Just it's hard to describe it, but they had me selling dresses to some of their wholesale accounts. And then they wanted me to help with their social media. So they assigned me this TikTok project where they wanted me to research and find some creators to work with during that time and help them create content for their own channel. And that was when I downloaded TikTok. So I worked there that summer. I made a decent amount of money. I think I was making like, I don't know, $15 an hour. And that just really paid for my apartment for that summer. So then I go back to school, senior year, fall semester. And the bar that I worked at my junior year, I started bartending at. And I loved bartending because I was already going out so much anyways. So why not just make money while I was bartending? And I probably shouldn't be saying this, but we were encouraged to drink while we were working. We would like take shots together, or if people bought us a drink or we just wanted to pour an extra, like we definitely could. So it was kind of like the best of both worlds. I was going out with my friends. They were on the other side of the bar and I was drinking for free and making a decent amount of money. So I would take home my little cup of cash every night and then I would save the cups of cash. Every like 2 weeks, I would go to the Chase at campus and I would deposit all of that cash and I would take about 20% of it out. And that's the money that I would use to buy like my Twisted Teas or my White Claws or whatever we were drinking at that time. And my senior year, I was living in this annex house. It's called Fever. And it was like $500 a month. It was so cheap. And I was really fortunate. My parents did help me pay for that housing. So that was nice. So I was able to save more money my senior year because I was making more from tips from that. And then also it was my fourth year working for University Tees and I had more accounts and I was making more money from that. So I keep in touch with Sherry Hill. My dream is I'm going to move back to Austin, Texas. I'm going to continue to work for them. I remember on like my last day before I left Austin, I had sat down with the CEO and I printed out my resume and I was like, here's my experience. I know you already know my experience, but I would love to work for you guys after college. If there's any opportunities in sales or marketing or anything, like I love you guys. I'll do whatever you want. And I thought the odds of me going back, I thought were pretty high. We kept in touch throughout the year. But then obviously COVID kind of messed that all up. So it was March, the beginning of March, when one of my shifts got canceled at the bar because we had to close the bar. And so then I wasn't making money from bartending. And then like, obviously everything was closed. And then with my job at University Tees, student organizations didn't need t-shirts anymore. So I was like, oh shit, everybody's events are canceled. Like, I'm not going to make this money from here. So where am I going to make money from? And so I remember it was like a really big thing at the time that other schools were doing these university orders where they would kind of make a mock-up of their downtown area and it would be like a Kent State sweatshirt. So my senior year during COVID, I decided to make one of those orders and I offered it on a t-shirt, a long sleeve, a crew neck, comfort colors, of course, and it came on like a handful of different colors. This order ended up blowing up. Like, we got a couple thousand orders on it. I want to say I ended up making like $10,000 in commission from it. Like, it was the biggest thing that I had ever made money from. And it was during lockdown. So I had all of my time and energy to focus on helping promote this, this order. I think at the time I had maybe like 5,000 followers on Instagram. I had accumulated some followers because of the Sherry Hill internship. And there might even be people listening right now who have followed me since college because of that era, which is so crazy to think about how much has changed since then. But yeah, that is how I ended up making a decent amount of money in college. And I remember graduating with around $15,000 in my bank account. And that was what I used to move to Austin, Texas. So it was in April, that I started applying for different jobs because Sherry Hill was like, no, sadly, we had to let people go because, you know, we don't have prom, we don't have bridal. Like, they were hurting. Everywhere was hurting. No one was hiring. So then I found the job at TikTok, landed that job, and then I used that money to move to Austin, get an apartment, furnish the apartment, and then, I was just like always going out and doing stuff. And so I worked in advertising for 1 year at TikTok. And I really did like that job. Looking back, like, it was challenging because it was something I had never done before and I didn't know anything about it. But I really feel like I learned a lot from that job. I got great experience, great connections, and it was a good time. And there's still a lot of skills that I use now. And it was helpful for sure. So I worked there for a year. And then I quit my job in technically my last day was like the end of August. So September of 2021, I became self-employed and I didn't know what my next move was going to be after that. I had grown my following a little bit at that time. I think I had maybe like 175,000 followers on TikTok when I quit my job. And so I didn't really know what was next. I thought, okay, I could get another job after this, or I could really lean into social media and see where this takes me. So I decided to go the social media route and just see, okay, if this doesn't work out, like, I can always get another job, but for now we'll ride it out. And then at that time, Connor and Mike were starting Waterboy. So I'll tell you the background about me and Connor. So Connor, my boyfriend, we met in the fall of 2020, right when we had both moved to Austin. I had messaged him on LinkedIn in college and he never replied. And then like a couple years later, when I found out that he was moving to Austin, I made a video showing the messages on LinkedIn, like making fun of myself. And then he followed me from that video. And then one day he just messaged me and asked me to go on a walk. And so we ended up walking for like 5 miles for hours, just talking. And any expectation that I had of Connor, of who I thought he was going to be, he just blew it out of the water. Like, I left that walk being like, oh my God, I'm going to marry him. He doesn't know that he's going to marry me yet, but it's fine. He will eventually. But I was really inspired by his ambition and his work ethic. He's very humble. He's very, very like, I mean, you guys probably know this, but he's very reserved. I mean, he was on a TV show, but for the most part, now that he's older and he's outside of like that whole world, he's very kept to himself. So I loved getting to know him more. And then he was starting to tell me about Waterboy at the beginning of 2021. And that's when we became much closer. I remember he called me one day. I was at this thrift store on South Lamar called Pavement. And I was in the store and I got a call from Connor Staley and I dropped what I was doing. I was like, oh my God, why is he calling me? Like, oh, does he love me? And I went outside and I just sat on this cinder block in the parking lot for probably like 2 hours talking to him on the phone. He was telling me all about Waterboy, this business idea that he was starting with his friend Mike. And I just remember being like, wow, this is so cool. I would love to help you with it. And then I was also starting social media at that time. And so I was helping him with TikTok. He was helping me with like partnership stuff. And then we just became really good friends. Yeah. And then he would call me every once in a while. And then all of a sudden he'd call me like a little more frequently. And then he would start texting me. And then it would be like a daily thing. And then we started hanging out. And then over time, we just became closer and closer as he was starting Waterboy. And so when I quit my job, he and Mike were like, we want to hire you. Like, quit TikTok, come work for us, and we'll give you whatever you want. But at that time, Connor and I were kind of starting to develop our own relationship, and I didn't want to blur that line yet. I was like, I don't want to work for him if we're ever going to be more than friends, which we were talking, we were exclusive at that point, but I just thought that would be really confusing, and I didn't want a work relationship to come before a real relationship. So I decided to not take that job. They had emailed me this offer letter and I replied, ha 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 ha, because I didn't think they were that serious at the time. So I didn't work for them, but they did convince me to move to LA with them. So we were all living in this little bungalow in Venice for a couple months, just kind of testing it out. And at this time, I had just started Fun on Weekdays, my podcast, and that's all it was at the time. It was just a podcast. While I was living in LA, that's when I started making the Facebook pages and I started kind of growing it into more of a community versus just the podcast. And then in the spring, when we came back to Austin, was when I connected with Nancy for the first time. And I did my first Fun on Weekdays event in, I want to say March or April of, was that 2022? Yeah, I guess 2022 was when I did my first like actual Fun on Weekdays event. And then that's when I started getting into the events quite a bit more, started working with Nancy more, but I was paying Nancy hourly, contracted. And then at that time, it just didn't make sense for me. I was like, if we're going to keep doing all of these events, it would make more sense for you to be like an actual employee. But to be honest, I didn't have the resources or the money to pay her to be a full-time employee at that time. So then I kind of scaled back on the events a little bit. And then I was going through some things myself when I had been doing social media for a while and I just felt like really lost and unfulfilled because I always had so much identity in my job. That was like everything to me. I mean, my entire personality was working at the American Commodore dress shop. And then when that was over, my entire personality in college was working at University Tees. And then in college too, I was like the Sherry Hill girl. And then I was the TikTok girl that got her job at TikTok from the resume. And then when I quit that, it was like, oh, well, now I'm just Jenna, and I don't really have a good understanding of who Jenna is because I always latched on to this thing that I had with my job, and like that became my personality. So that was kind of difficult for me because I didn't really know what I wanted to do with Fun on Weekdays either. Like I had an idea, but I didn't have the money to put it into there yet, and I also needed people to help me with it. So it wasn't until this past year, 2023, I hired Gabby in January, and she is now my what is her official role? I think she's our director of marketing. I think that's what it is. Director of marketing. So she helps with my Instagram, with all of our graphic design. She helps with like thumbnails and stuff for the newsletter. She helps with, we're now making planners for Fun on Weekdays. We're making pickleball paddles. We're doing a bunch of stuff. So she helps with a lot of the merch as well. And then she's also a photographer. So when we're at events, she takes pictures and it's great. So I've been doing that for a while. But in my last episode, I talk a little bit about my journey with discovering my faith and how doing the events and how being online really started to hurt my mental health. And I needed to take a break from just being like an influencer for a little bit. And so Waterboy kind of came at like the perfect time where I think I was ready to do something with social media that wasn't so focused on myself. And why not Waterboy? Because I feel like I'm already such a huge part of the company, but I'm not actually part of the company. Connor and I live together. We've been together for 2.5 years now. And I feel like we're finally in a place where I feel like our relationship is so strong that any sort of work dynamic would not impact our relationship. I also feel like I'm very individual in the fact that I'm not solely reliant on my job at Waterboy. So if things were to not work out, I still have like my own life and my own things to focus on as well. And I know that it would be like mutually respectful, you know, like our relationship comes first. But I can't say the same thing as a couple years ago when they wanted me to work for them. Like, I wanted to have that clarity first to know that the time and energy that I put into Waterboy is actually going to like be beneficial in the long run, because I know that at the end of the day, 10 years from now, like Connor and I are still going to be together. So now that I have that confidence in us, like, it made it a much easier decision. And so I started telling Mike and Connor, I'm like, look, you guys need help with all of these things that you continuously say you can't really find the right fit for. And I can do all of those things. I know you guys so well. I know the brand so well. I understand your vision and your humor and all these things. Like, what if I just took it over? And at first, Connor was kind of apprehensive. He's like, I don't want to take away from what you're doing. Like, with Fun on Weekdays, I want you to focus on your own career, and I don't want you to drop what you're doing for us. Like, I always want that to come first. And I was like, honestly, I feel like I've been kind of in a rut lately. Like, I have not grown on social media in probably a year and a half. Like, I need something else to focus on. Because when you have so much pressure on the one thing that you're supposed to be making videos about, you just, I don't know, you run out of ideas. And I really needed more of a routine. So anyways, I convinced them to let me work for them. And I'm now on like week 3 of working for them. And it has been so fun. And I feel like it's really helped bring back my love for social media. I have no pressure. I get to just make fun little videos. And when you're looking at somebody else's account from the outside in, I feel like you have a much better idea of what you can do to strengthen their content and help them grow. But when I look at my own channels, I can't see it that clearly because obviously I'm in it. So working for Waterboy, seeing what has worked for them, and then also just like sharing my journey of figuring out what I want to do with my career and now trying something new, being a social media manager and sharing my strategy for things, that has naturally also helped me grow as well, because now it's like interesting content to people. And I don't know, just overall, it's been a really good life change. Things have been really great. I've been really happy. If you listened to last week's episode, I talked about how I started going to church. I didn't go yesterday, actually, because we had an event yesterday for Classy Network, so I didn't have time to go. But yeah, that has been fun as well. And just overall, I've really loved working for Waterboy. I also feel like, too, living with Connor, a lot of times we spend our days completely apart and just so disconnected from what either of us are doing. So because I'm going into Waterboy a couple days a week now and I'm seeing him during the day, like, I know what he's working on, so that when we do come home, we don't have to talk about, oh, what'd you do today? We don't have to do like the whole recap thing, you know, and just waste time like recapping what we were working on, because we're there and we know what we're working on. And I feel like we're just a team now. So when we are talking about things, we're both in the know about what's happening. And it's just been really fun to kind of see him in a different light. Like, I love watching him work in his little office. I'm like, oh, he's so ambitious. I love that. And I think also on the other side, he's enjoyed watching me do my thing. And it's also extra fun when what you're doing is working. Like, Waterboy has grown. Our TikTok account has grown like 55,000 followers since I took over, which is crazy. At first, there were so many people that started following, and now it's starting to slow down a little bit, which is natural. I knew that was going to happen just because a lot of the people that are following are my very, very engaged, like loyal following. So if that's you, thank you guys so much. But with them going into retail now, like, their social was just so important. That was probably the missing component of everything else. But going into Target, I just want to look at every person who ever thought Connor was using me and say, screw you, because now you can go to any Target in your small town and you can buy Waterboy. And that is just so validating. And I'm just so proud of them, because how cool is that? I go home to Painesville, Ohio, and I go into the Mentor Target and I can buy my boyfriend's company that he's been like silently working on. I mean, that's another thing about him. He's just so quiet. Like, he's not going to post about all of their achievements and stuff. So I think it's really cool to see a lot of their hard work from the past couple of years pay off. And now that I get to be a part of it and help them grow, it's like, whoa, really? The opportunities here are endless. And that's not to say that I'm not still going to do stuff with Fun on Weekdays, but Waterboy is just different in the fact that they have a product. Like, you can measure success. You can measure your sales. With Fun on Weekdays, I sometimes feel like I'm really stuck because I don't have product that I'm selling in order to have a budget to do things for marketing. You know, like, I am marketing a community and the community is not making an income. if that makes sense. I'm really just making an income for Fun on Weekdays through partnerships with brands. And I'm so reliant on other people paying me versus Waterboy. They're solely reliant on themselves paying themselves from their own products, you know? So I think that also makes a huge difference too when it comes to like why I have a different mindset with it. But it's been really fun. And so my current setup right now is Monday, Wednesday, Friday is typically the day that Gabby will come to my house and we'll work together for Fun on Weekdays. We never work 9 to 5. Like it's usually, we usually work like 11 to 4. Lately, we've been working on some bigger projects. Like for example, we have social planners that are coming out at the end of the year. And we were spending a lot of time on the design for that and just all the details for the production. But we are so close to the sample being made. So now that that project is almost wrapped up, it's like, well, now we have a little bit more free time just trying to figure out what we should be doing now for Fun on Weekdays. We have pickleball paddles that are coming out in June/July. So we'll be planning events for that. But for the meantime, yeah, usually Monday, Wednesday, Friday is Gabby. She'll come here. We'll work on the podcast, work on events, that kind of stuff. And then Tuesday, Thursday are typically my content days. So if I have stuff due for my own social channels, I'll do it that day. But now Tuesday, Thursdays are also my Waterboy days. And then I'll sometimes go to Waterboy Monday, Wednesday, Friday, like later in the afternoon. I'm trying to make it a better routine, but I'm still not there yet. I need to make it something that's like very consistent and disciplined. But oh, and the other job that I have, which you guys know this, but I teach fitness classes as well. So I am a certified bar instructor. I got my certification last year around this time actually. And I teach Wednesday and Friday mornings, 7:30 a.m. on Wednesday, 9 a.m. on Friday. And that job, I made a video about this, about how I make like money from all the things that I do. And I make $35 per class for that. But the certification for it was $1,500. So I wasn't actually making money from classes until very recently, because I would have had to teach 42 classes before I started making any money. So yeah. That's just like something fun that I like to do. But I have to say that I really encourage any influencers out there that feel burnt out or feel unfulfilled or lost or being like, oh my gosh, what should I be doing with my life? Because I thought that I just wanted to be a content creator, but now that I'm doing it, it's just not what I thought it would be. You should just get a job. I'm telling you, like we all have so many hobbies and passions. You have the flexibility, you have the means to be able to go and explore other things. And for anyone listening, it's never too late to try something new. I feel like one of the things that I always try to show my followers is that you can always try new things. And sometimes it sticks and sometimes it doesn't stick. But I love so many different things. Like I love social media. So why not be a social media manager for another brand? Why not be an influencer? I love hosting events. So why not host my own events? I love doing makeup. So why not do other people's makeup and make that a part-time job? I love fitness classes, so why not teach them? Like there's nothing that you can't, there's nothing that you can't do. There's only things that you just don't allow yourself to do. So I have to say, even though I have been a lot busier and I have less free time, I have been having way more fun. And I've been doing way more stuff on weekdays, oddly enough. So I hope you guys enjoyed this little recap of all of my job experience and my new endeavor and getting into it. I hope you feel a little bit inspired. And if you feel like, I don't know what the hell I'm supposed to be doing with my job or with my life right now, I still feel that way. Like, I don't know. I have no idea what I'm gonna be doing 5 years from now, 10 years from now. But I'm just taking opportunities as they come. And I'm saying yes to things that interest me. And Waterboy is one of those things. So thanks for listening. I plan to have Connor on here sometime soon, probably in a couple weeks after I've been at Waterboy for a little bit and things have settled. We've been really busy with the Target launch. So yeah, just a reminder, if you have hangovers or if you have a chronic illness, I mean, we can't legally make ads and like promote this, but there have been so many women that are pregnant and they have pregnancy sickness or pregnancy hangover is what they call it. I've never experienced that obviously because I'm not pregnant, but a lot of people drink Waterboy for that. So go and buy it at Target. You can also get it online. Our Fun on Weekdays collab is coming back soon. And I think that's it. You guys, I'll talk to you next Tuesday. Bye.